Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Strauss Group First Quarter 2013 Results Conference Call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, May 28, 2013. I would like to remind everyone that the conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions and may change as time passes. Strauss does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing industry and market trends, reduced demand of our products, the timely development of our new products and their adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry and price reductions, as well as due to risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the ISA. With us online today are Mr. Gadi Lessen, President and CEO of Strauss Group, Mr. Shachar Florence, CFO, and Ms. Talia Sessler, Director of Investor Relations. Mr. Lessen, please go ahead.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this quarterly call for Strauss Group results. With me today are Shachar Florence, our CFO, and Talia Sessler, our Director of Investor Relations. Let's move, please, to slide number three. Before we start discussing the results of Q1, I would like to highlight that commencing in the first quarter of 2013, the group has retroactively applied IFRS 11 joint arrangements. As a result, businesses which are jointly controlled by Strauss and a partner are now presented under the equity method and no longer proportionally consolidated. As you know, part of Strauss Group uniqueness and strengths are its partnerships, which account for about 30% of our group's non-GAAP sales and about 14% of non-GAAP EBIT. Since nothing has changed in our real activity and as our measures remain the same, we continue to present the group's non-GAAP results in the same way we have done prior to applying IFRS 11. Now, let's go back to the quarterly results. Strauss International activity continued to prove its strength this quarter, increasing profit despite a significant negative impact on sales from changes in the relevant currency exchange rates, particularly in Brazilian reais. Our home market in Israel also maintained its positive performance. Overall, the group posted strong results. The group gross margins expanded 2.7%, EBIT margins improved 2.5%, and net profit margins were up 1.9%. These improvements were mainly due to the progress achieved in the international coffee business, Brazil in particular, and as a result of continued implementation of streamlining processes across all the group's businesses. At the same time, we continue to invest in the group's future growth drivers and in innovation in all areas of our activity. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Shachar Florence, our CFO, to discuss our financial results in more detail. Shachar, please.
Thank you, Gadi. Good afternoon and good morning to everybody, and thank you for joining us in this conference. As Gadi mentioned, this is the first quarter that we implement IFRS 11, and in slide number five, you can see the results both according to the new accounting rules, but at the same time, according to the previous one. The differences here are, as Gadi mentioned, the joint controlled businesses. As from our point of view as management and the board of the company, we measure ourselves including our activities in Brazil, Sabra, the salty snacks in Israel, and the international activities of the water, We prefer to measure the business according to the previous method, though that in certain places, the new method improve our results, such as if you take the net profit that includes, of course, the equity profit in those entities and divide them into the sales that does not include it, of course, the profitability, for example, in percentage will be higher and so on and so forth. We think that to talk about Strauss Group without mentioning Brazil, Sabra, Salty Snacks, and the water activities out of Israel, will measure the business less accurate. So from now on, in the rest of the presentation, I will talk about our managerial reports, which are done according to the IFRS, not including IFRS 11, and the same items that we neutralized up until now, which is non-cash based compensation, profits, one-time profits or losses, and hedge activities that were not cashed during the period. The last one is only timing differences, and of course, if financial contracts such as hedge is not liquidated within the quarter, it will be liquidated in the next quarter. So in slide number five, you can see that though our sales were reduced by 2.5%, and we'll explain this reduction, our gross margins are higher, both in terms of actual shekels and in percentages. The same is true for the operating profit and the net profit. Operating profit is up by 27.5%, and the net profit is up 57%, with 103 million shekels net profit for the quarter. I'll skip slide number six, because in the next slide, in slide number seven, you have the analysis of the sales, and you can see that there are two main influences on our sales. First of all is the green coffee activity that is done in Brazil. This is the only non-branded activity within the company. It's a commodity trade, which the volumes and the value is determined by each quarter according to the situation in the market, and this quarter was lower by 40 million shekel. Part of it, the same as for the rest of the Brazilian sales, were influenced also by the strength of the Israeli shekel. Israeli shekel this quarter was one of the strongest currencies in the world, and if you will take the example just for the Brazilian sales that were up 6.8%, almost 7% in Brazilian reais, but at the same time minus 6.8% in shekels, and this by itself explained more than the whole reduction in the sales. So all the rest of the businesses as a whole went up. So this is one reason for the reduction in sales. The other, and I'll start from left to right, Sabra and Obela increased their sales also in shekel, though again the dollar were devaluated against the shekel this quarter by about 2%, but despite of the strength of the shekel, Sabra and Obela increased their sales mainly by expansion of Sabra into other than hummus product, that means salsa, guacamole, and dairy dips, but at the same time also increasing our market share and sales in hummus. And the same is true for Obela that started to sell in Australia. By the way, still we are not selling hummus in Australia. We're still selling other dips and spreads or salads. We are building our new hummus line in Australia, and we expect to start sell Hummus in Australia in the next couple of months, for sure before the end of the end of the year. Health and wellness in Israel was almost flat, and the what we call dry product in Israel, coffee and fun and indulgence, went down mainly due to reduction in number of sales days in Israel this quarter. The holidays were at the middle of the week, and thus we had almost 10% less trading sell in Israel, about 7 days over usual of 65 selling days a quarter. And this is a phenomena of this year. And we tend to measure ourselves on 4 months performance in Israel because of the holiday, and probably we'll see some of those sales in the next quarter. But this is the main influence. And as we discussed before, the green coffee in Brazil. So this is the analysis of the sales, and part of the growth in Sabra can be explained, as you can see in the next slide. It is becoming the knowledge about hummus and the familiarity of the U.S. consumers is increasing, and also our penetration into the Canadian market. In the next couple of slides, you can see some of the innovation that we brought into the market, and part of the improvement of our margins, mainly the gross margins, is the innovation that we brought to the market, and these are few examples out of many, but from all of our companies and businesses. We mentioned also in the MD&As the improvement in Frisco powder juices in Brazil, and of course the margins in the coffee activities in Brazil. You can see below the innovation in Israel, and though the sales were reduced, the margin were improved. A very good quarter for the dips and spreads business in Israel, with lots of new products to the market. And in China, we launched a new machine. We started the penetration to China with the upper level product, the Watermaker Premium. And in the second line of slide number 12, you can see the Watermaker Young, which is sold also in the hot and ambient version only, which is even in a lower prices than the full-fledged product, which includes also the cold water. And by having more than one product and diverse offering to the market, we do hope that we'll increase the penetration into the Chinese water. Looking at slide number 13 on the gross margin, you can see that the main contributors to the gross margin, which is obviously the bigger companies out of the portfolio, and this is without dividing the other segment into dips and spreads and water. The improvement in the gross margin was influenced mainly by the coffee activities. You can see in the second line a very nice improvement, not only in the profit, but also in the profitability of coffee. And of course, the increase in Sabra and dips and spreads activity. The bottom line, as well as, by the way, the gross margin, this is the best Q1 for Strauss Group ever. By the way, following the best Q4 in the previous quarter and the best Q3 in 2012. So this is a trend that we will try to keep. We have three, if not four, best quarters against they're comparable in previous years. And you can see not only the profit, but also the profitability. We ended up the quarter with 214 million shekel EBIT, 27.5% improvement, and 10.6 profitability. If we try to split the improvement in the EBIT between the companies, so obviously following the improvement in the gross margin, the coffee activities mainly out of Israel is the main contributor, and within it the Brazilian business, which contributed a lot to this improvement. Following by the coffee in Israel, all of them influenced by efficiency measures that we took, including purchasing and logistics. Not to mention in the coffee, as we said in the previous quarter, the contribution of the new freeze-dried plants that we have in that we bought in Germany is manufacturing only to our Russian activities. Our Russian activity right now consume even more than this factory can produce right now, and we are working on improvement, and hopefully we can enlarge the quantities that this factory can manufacture. We can see the improvement in Sabra and Dobela performance, and the only reductions are in the fun and indulgence, mainly influenced by the reduction in the sales that I explained before. In slide number 16, you can see just the coffee activities performance with record high quarter, of course, and record high profitability. And the profitability improvement came mainly through the Brazilian market. And we told you previously that our businesses should be judged in a longer than one quarter period. We said it when it was good, we said it when it was less good, and we are saying it right now that it's excellent. We do think that we made a step function improvement in Brazil. We'll have to wait for a few quarters to see it stabilizing. So we are not trying to claim that 11 or 11.5% is the going forward expectation, but for sure it is a step function versus previous profitability in the coffee company, which were around the 8% EBIT profit. Moving to slide number 17, so following the improvement in the EBIT, we can see an improvement in the net profit, which is a record high net profit quarter for Strauss Group, influenced both by the EBIT growth, but also in reduction in the finance expenses. We lowered a little bit our net debt and the financial expenses on the debt, in addition to a better hedge a transaction that, according to the accounting rules, we booked them in the financial expenses or income, and not in the in the gross margin. On the other hand, for sure, since we had a higher profit, we have higher tax expenses, but on the other hand, much lower tax percentage. And here the explanation is that we reduced the losses in our startup activities, mainly the water activities out of Israel, China, and UK, and in the dips and spreads activities out of the US, which mean Mexico and Australia. As you know, we do not book tax assets for those losses, and once those losses were lower, our tax percentages became better, obviously, and an increase in the minority share, of course, if our businesses perform better, part of it belongs, quote-unquote, to the minority. This is the P&L. I mentioned the balance sheet. We reduced the net debt, and we intend to reduce also the gross debt by lowering the cash surpluses that we have on the balance sheet. We feel right now that the market is secure. Our bonds are traded, 7-year bonds are traded about 3 basis points above the governmental bonds, a very, very low interest rate, and the markets are open, and thus we can reduce the cash cushion that we had on our balance sheet, and we anticipate also lower finance expenses, and this will happen during the this year and the beginning of next year. By that, I concluded the presentation. I tried to do it very short in order to leave enough time for your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from David Kaplan of Barclays Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I've got two sets of questions, I guess. First on the salads business and then on coffee. I'll start with salads, though. Where are all of the new products for Obela and Sabra, the guacamoles and the salsas being produced?
Do you want to ask this both questions, or you want?
Up to you. I can ask them all at once or one at a time.
Okay, we'll take this one. First of all, hi. Thank you for joining us, David.
Yeah, David, good morning for you and your time zone. Actually, today we have two plants in the U.S. market. The major one, the new one, is in Virginia, that is producing all the hummus products. The second one in California for the salsa SKUs. Last but not least, we are importing the guacamole from Mexico.
You didn't ask, but the dairy is manufactured in Farmingdale. So the three of them is manufactured by us on our plants. And the guacamole right now is outsourced, but with the quantities that will grow, we might produce by ourselves. By the way, our guacamole product, the SKU, was the best seller. The revenue or the sales of this SKU were the highest in the U.S. for guacamole. We don't have enough SKUs right now, so still Holy Guacamole is the number one market share in the States, though we are improving very fast. And we assume, and just this gives you the preference of the U.S. consumer for our taste profile. And we assume that once we'll have more and more SKUs that will accommodate different purchase and consumption moments, such as grab and go, bigger quantities, packages, and so on and so forth, with the better performance profile, sorry, taste profile, will improve the guacamole. And once we'll have enough quantities, probably we'll consider how to manufacture it.
If you can talk a little bit about the growing number of SKUs, the capacity that you have in the facility in Virginia, the capacity for the plant in the plants, I guess, in Farmingdale and in California, or for California, you said is outsourced, and the plant in Mexico, then the one that was moved from Queens. What kind of capacity do you have there? As you said, as the SKUs grow, it might become more affordable for you to produce them in-house. Is there room in Virginia to produce those? And if not today, then what kind of CapEx should we expect going forward as you build out your ability to produce more in-house?
Okay. So, there are two different questions. The first one regarding the SKUs. So it's part of the innovation plan, plans that we have for Sabra. And over there, there is no issue of capacity. It's only, let's say, the imagination. And after that, of course, the negotiation with the retailers for the share of space or the, let's say, the how many facing they are going to give us to increase the category. But the main challenge in Virginia that we just opened the plant 2 years ago, as you said, is the capacity. We have discussions as part of the board meetings, and I believe that by the end of this year, we are going to approve a new investment, a new CapEx, to double the capacity of Virginia. And by the end of the year, we are going to announce the way and how much money we are going to put behind the facility, and again, to double the capacity of the hummus lines.
If Shachar, if I could just, I guess, expanding on that, when you talked a little bit before about the balance sheet, is that also part of the thought of refinancing now ahead of the build-out of the CapEx at the end of the year?
No. So first of all, I'll complete the previous question. If you are looking for your models, if it's double the capacity, probably it will be in the same order of magnitude as the previous plant that we built in Virginia. As of the gearing, no, on the contrary, as I said, we will reduce the cash, not by expanding it, but by reducing the gross debt. It's not a big trick to reduce cash by expanding it. No, I meant that we reduce the cash by reducing the gross debt. That means that we will pay out our debentures, and we will not raise new money. As far as this plant, we do not anticipate that we'll have to borrow. Sabra has cash surpluses, and it generates a lot of cash. And we anticipate that it won't be a burden on our balance sheet.
Okay. I guess this is a slightly tangential question then. When you think about running your businesses, and I guess now you just touched on it, if you're going to require money for Sabra for building out a new plant, do you look at it on the micro level of Sabra or the salads business at the very least, funding that CapEx and that build-out, or would it come from the group level, the cash?
As you know, we do not publish a balance sheet per company. But on the other hand, as I told you a moment ago, we do not expect the facility to be a burden on the balance sheet. That means that most of it will be financed by the ongoing cash flows of Sabra, and we will not have to borrow neither at the group level nor at Sabra's level.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to quickly move over to coffee.
If it will be done.
Yeah, sorry.
If it will be done, it will be done on Sabra's balance sheet.
Great. So I'm going to move over quickly to coffee, and I can free the line for someone else. It seems that in coffee, the Central and Eastern European business, excluding Russia, is still wallowing in some kind of stagnation. It's not growing very fast. It doesn't seem that the demand for roast and ground coffee in those countries is growing. Poland has also kind of stagnated. What's your long-term plan for that group of countries within your coffee business, and how much more time or what kind of investment are you planning to make into those regions to hopefully see some growth out of there?
Okay. First of all, not all the countries are the same. As you can see, Serbia grew in local currency almost 10%, 16 shekels. Poland improved itself. On the other hand, yes, Russia and Romania, the sales were lower than previous year. As far as profitability, the fact that the whole coffee
company improved, and you can see the segment of the international coffee, you can understand you have the data for Brazil for the first time, then you can understand that the rest of the business also improved the margins and the profit. And this is the beauty in Strauss businesses. We have a vast portfolio of businesses in many geographies. There are times that some economies perform better than the others, and it's no secret the Serbian economy right now is not in the best shape. On the other hand, Poland and Romania improved themselves, and Russia is in a good situation right now. And the overall business, the coffee business, we look at it as a one business in different markets. And sometimes some of the countries perform better, and sometimes less so. So I don't know what you mean by plans. We intend to improve ourselves as much as we can. Yes, we are dependent in the economies, and we measure ourselves by market share and sales in local currencies that in the end of the day is translated into shekels. Depends on the rate that we do not control. We just discussed the last investment that we have done in Russia, both in few acquisitions that we made, Lekafe and Ambassador, and the plant that we bought. And we intend to improve as much as we can.
Okay, and just I guess the last question would be then a modeling question. While Q1, I guess it's really only from a reporting perspective, but the in Q1 the shekel was weak, was strong, and in Q2 it seems as though that's turning around a little bit. How should we think about the shekel results in going forward? You know, given what we've seen in the first 2 months of the quarter.
As you know, we do not speculate on currencies, and I am not a macroeconomist. But as you said, as far as we know right now, the shekel is less strong a bit in this quarter. That means the translation of the profits of the company out of Israel will be better and probably will improve. Just think if we had a stronger currencies against the shekel this quarter, the profits would have been even higher than we showed in this report. Yes, the it's pure mathematics. Yes, all of our businesses are profitable. The translation will be better. It will hardly impact in the short term the Israeli businesses because we are covered as far as the commodities that we import. Yes, on the longer term, of course, in the end of the day, it would get into the Israel P&L with the commodity prices. But on the short term, you know, we are at the middle of Q2, and as you know, our hedging policy, we are covered longer than 3 months. That means both currencies and the commodities. So technically, if it will stay like this, translation will be better.
Yes, and David, just to emphasize, as part of our strategy, the main challenge is to analyze, to manage in the local currencies, and we are repeating it again and again. We are in many countries and geographies all the time. The main target to do our best in local currencies. Of course, that we cannot ignore the translation to shekel, but without repeating what Shachar said before, let's measure ourselves in a local currencies and according to the local situation, of course.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available in 2 hours. In Israel, please call 03-925-5930. Internationally, call 972-3-925-5930. A replay of this call will also be available on the company's website at www.strauss-group.com. Mr. Lessin, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yeah, thank you. So just to summarize our discussion, Strauss Group had a record high EBIT quarter, which reinforces the group's capabilities in managing a diverse international business portfolio. Our goal remains to continue to deliver real added value to consumers while enhancing our strength as a leading group. Thank you very much again for joining us today.
Thank you. This concludes Strauss Group first quarter 2013 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.